Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Phil Dierking, Jill Robbins, and John Russell. Ashley will tell us what's trending today, and Katie Weaver will bring us this week's personal technology report. But first, North Korea's efforts to develop nuclear weapons have frustrated hopes by South Korea to reduce tensions with the North through talks. The nuclear activities have also affected South Korea's relations with both the United States and China. South Korean President Moon Jae-in took office in May. At the time, Moon said he wanted to balance contacts with sanctions to lower tensions on the Korean Peninsula. In comparison, U.S. President Donald Trump has supported using maximum pressure on North Korea through economic sanctions and the threat of military action. Yet after the North's nuclear test this week, conservatives in South Korea have been criticizing Moon's call for talks. President Trump also criticized the policy, calling it unworkable appeasement. The Moon administration has attempted to play down differences with the United States over how to deal with the growing North Korean threat. It says the two allies continue to support the idea of denuclearization. But Moon has also come out strongly against taking any preventive military action against North Korea, one that could lead to war. Bong Young-shik is with the Yonsei University Institute for North Korean Studies in Seoul. He says President Trump might have felt frustration about a seemingly softer stance from the South Korean leadership, but at the same time, the Trump administration also agrees that military options are way too risky. This week, Moon seemed to take a stronger stance and one closer to the Trump administration's position. On Tuesday, he voiced support for new sanctions that would cut off the money North Korea earns from foreign currency income and oil supplies. If North Korea doesn't stop its provocations, we would face an unpredictable situation in the future, Moon said. He made the comment on Wednesday at a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin in the Russian city of Vladivostok. However, Russian and Chinese leaders might not support new sanctions that have proven to be ineffective in slowing North Korea's nuclear missile development program. Putin said North Koreans would eat grass rather than give in to outside pressure to disarm. He called for talks to settle the crisis. But the North Koreans said the nuclear tests will continue. Han Tae-song, the North's ambassador to the United Nations in Geneva, noted Tuesday that more North Korean missiles and nuclear tests are planned. President Trump said over the weekend that he is considering withdrawing from the U.S. Free Trade Agreement with South Korea. That could also create a problem in the security alliance to oppose North Korea's nuclear missile program. Trump has repeatedly criticized the 5-year-old FTA for creating a $27 billion U.S. trade deficit with South Korea last year. The possibility of increased U.S. tariffs comes at the same time the Moon administration is facing Chinese criticism for deploying the American THAAD missile defense system. China strongly objects to the radar system, calling it a threat to the country's security. China had reportedly ordered informal restrictions on some South Korean imports and travel as retaliation.
Kenya's Electoral Commission said Monday that the country will hold a new presidential election on October 17th. Kenya's Supreme Court announced last Friday it was dismissing the results of the August 8 presidential election. The Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission, or IEBC, said in its announcement that current President Uhuru Kenyatta and opposition leader Raila Odinga will be the only people on the ballot for the next month's vote, along with each candidate's running mate. The IEBC has asked the Supreme Court to release a detailed ruling of its decision to dismiss the election results. They said they need such information to identify which areas need improvement for managing the new election. In last month's election, President Kenyatta was declared the winner. He was said to have beaten Odinga by 1.4 million votes. Odinga and his opposition party, NASA, rejected the results and appealed to the Supreme Court for a new election. Odinga and his party also said Tuesday that they would prefer the new election take place on October 24th or 31st. They say there needs to be enough time to fix the problems with the IEBC. We are saying that we are not ready to participate in elections on the 17th of October without legal and constitutional guarantees, because you cannot do a mistake twice and expect to get different results, Odinga said. Odinga also said he believes a number of electoral officials should be removed from their positions or arrested. They should not be permitted to take part in another round of elections, he said. As far as we are concerned, it is not the date, the day, said Odinga. It is the preparations for these elections, which is more important for us, that there must be proper preparations. It must deal with all irregularities which were committed, beginning with the people who committed them, and also rectifying those irregularities. An IEBC official told VOA they would provide a response soon. The Supreme Court said in its ruling Friday that the Electoral Commission was responsible for irregularities and illegalities in the managing and communication of results during the first election. However, the court did not order specific action for electoral officials. Chief Justice David Maraga told the Electoral Commission that, under the Constitution, it had 60 days from the ruling to organize a new vote. The full judgment of the court must be released within 21 days of the ruling. I'm Phil Dierking.
There's an old saying that America and Britain are two nations divided by a common language. No one knows exactly who said this, but it reflects the way many Brits feel about American English. My British friend still tells me,
"You don't speak English, you speak American."
But are American and British English really so different? The most noticeable difference between American and British English is vocabulary. There are hundreds of everyday words that are different. For example, Brits call the front of a car the bonnet, while Americans call it the hood. Americans go on vacation,
while Brits go on holidays or holes.
New Yorkers live in apartments.
Londoners live in flats.
There are far more examples than we can talk about here. Fortunately, most Americans and Brits can usually guess the meaning through the context of a sentence.
There are a few grammatical differences between the two varieties of English. Let's start with collective nouns. We use collective nouns to refer to a group of individuals. In American English, collective nouns are singular. For example, staff refers to a group of employees, band refers to a group of musicians, team refers to a group of athletes. Americans would say,
"The band is good."
But in British English, collective nouns can be singular or plural. You might hear someone from Britain say,
"The team are playing tonight."
Or,
"The team is playing tonight."
Another grammar difference between American and British English relates to auxiliary verbs. Auxiliary verbs, also known as helping verbs, are verbs that help form a grammatical function. They help the main verb by adding information about time, modality, and voice. Let's look at the auxiliary verb shall. Brits sometimes use shall to express the future. For example,
"I shall go home now."
Americans know what shall means, but rarely use it in conversation. It seems very formal. Americans would probably use, "I will go home now." In question form, a Brit might say,
"Shall we go now?"
While an American would probably say, "Should we go now?" When Americans want to express a lack of obligation, they use the helping verb do with negative not, followed by need. "You do not need to come to work today." Brits drop the helping verb and contract not.
"You needn't come to work today."
You will also find some small differences with past forms of irregular verbs. The past tense of learn in American English is learned. British English has the option of learned or learnt. The same rule applies to dreamed and dreamt, burned and burnt, leaned and leant. Americans tend to use the ED ending. Brits tend to use the T ending. In the past participle form, Americans tend to use the EN ending for some irregular verbs. For example, an American might say, "I have never gotten caught," whereas a Brit would say,
"I have never got caught."
Americans use both got and gotten in the past participle. Brits only use got. Don't worry too much about these small differences in the past forms of irregular verbs. People in both countries can easily understand both ways, although Brits tend to think of the American way as incorrect.
A tag question is a grammatical form that turns a statement into a question. For example,
"The whole situation is unfortunate, isn't it?"
Or,
You don't like him, do you?
The tag includes a pronoun and its matching form of the verb be, have, or do. Tag questions encourage people to respond and agree with the speaker. Americans use tag questions too, but less often than Brits. You can learn more about tag questions on a previous episode of Everyday Grammar. There are hundreds of minor spelling differences between British and American English. You can thank American lexicographer Noah Webster for this. You might recognize Webster's name from the dictionary that carries his name. Noah Webster, an author, politician, and teacher, started an effort to reform English spelling in the late 1700s. He was frustrated by the inconsistencies in English spelling. Webster wanted to spell words the way they sounded. Spelling reform was also a way for America to show its independence from England. You can see Webster's legacy in the American spelling of words like color, honor, and labor. Webster dropped the letter U from these words to make the spelling match the pronunciation. Other Webster ideas failed, like a proposal to spell women as W-I-M-M-E-N. Since Webster's death in 1843, attempts to change spelling rules in American English have gone nowhere.
British and American English have far more similarities than differences. We think the difference between American and British English is often exaggerated. If you can understand one style, you should be able to understand the other style. With the exception of some regional dialects, most Brits and Americans can understand each other without too much difficulty. They watch each other's TV shows, sing each other's songs, and read each other's books. They even make fun of each other's accents. I'm John Russell.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
This is What's Trending Today. About 80 years ago, food scientists introduced the world to white chocolate. Until this week, it was the last new kind of chocolate to enter the world market. But now, scientists have invented a pink-colored chocolate. It joins the likes of white, dark, and milk chocolate. A chocolate manufacturer in Switzerland launched the new product Tuesday in Shanghai, China. The manufacturer, Barry Kalbol, says that the pink color comes from the ruby cocoa bean. The color, the company adds, is natural. It has an intense and fresh berry taste. The Financial Times reports that ruby cocoa beans grow in Ecuador, Brazil, the Ivory Coast, and other countries. Scientists worked for more than 10 years to develop ruby chocolate. Barry Kalbol is the world's biggest supplier of cocoa. Chocolate makers around the world use its cocoa to make candy and chocolate products. The company said in a statement that it developed the new chocolate with millennials in mind. Millennials are people born in the 1980s or 1990s. Millennials and others around the world reacted to the news of ruby chocolate on social media. Barry Kalbol is hopeful that its ruby chocolate becomes popular in China. Ruby chocolate products
are expected to be available in stores in about 6 months. And that's what's trending today.
If you have owned an iPhone or iPad for a few years, you may have apps that are outdated. Since 2013, Apple has been asking developers to update their apps. When iOS 11, the next version of the iPhone operating system, is launched soon, older apps may not work on it. Beginning with the iPhone 5S in 2013, iPhones have come with 64-bit processors. Earlier iPhones had 32-bit processors. Apple has been asking app developers to update their apps to 64-bit from 32-bit since the iPhone 5S was launched. In January of this year, users of the 32-bit apps saw warnings when they opened their apps that the apps needed to be updated. More recently, 32-bit apps have shown another warning. This app will not work with future versions of iOS. Sensor Tower is a business that studies and reports on apps. The company says about 8% of the apps in the iTunes App Store are 32-bit apps and may not work with iOS 11. 8% equals about 187,000 apps out of the 2.4 million apps in the App Store. 32-bit apps that have not been updated to 64-bit have started disappearing already from the iTunes App Store. But people who have these older apps on their iPhones and iPads can still use them for now. When iOS 11 comes out, the 32-bit apps may not work if those devices are updated to iOS 11. Apple is having an event on September 12th that will likely introduce the new iPhone and iOS 11. So we should learn soon how they might affect 32-bit apps. You may be wondering whether you have any 32-bit apps on your iPhone or iPad. There is an easy way to find out. Go to Settings, then General, then About, then Applications. Tap on Applications. If you have any 32-bit apps in need of updating, they will appear on a new screen. Those that are 32-bit but can be updated will show at the top of the list. You may not care if some of your older apps are 32-bit and may not work with iOS 11. Maybe you have not used them in a while and did not even know that they were still on your phone. Remove them to make space on your phone. But you may care about these older apps. In fact, some may be favorites. There are several ways to deal with the 32-bit apps you want to continue using. There may be an update to the app available that you have not downloaded to your phone yet. There is an easy way to check. If the app is at the top of the list under Update Available, tap on the app to open it in the App Store app. A box should appear that says Update. Tap on the box to do so. After you have updated, check settings again to see if the app has changed. If iOS 11 does make 32-bit apps obsolete, and you have 32-bit apps you care about, you should not update to iOS 11 when it is released. But this is not a good long-term solution because iOS 11 may be useful for you. And in time, you will probably have to update to iOS 11, especially if you get a new iPhone or iPad. However, this may be a good short-term solution if you have a 32-bit app you really need or want. In fact, do not update to iOS 11 until you have your apps sorted out. With 2.4 million apps in the App Store, iTunes may have alternative apps that you like even better than the 32-bit apps you have been using. Search for best alternative apps. Check out recommendations for newer 64-bit apps. Also, search the App Store to find replacement 64-bit apps. You can also contact the developer of the 32-bit app and ask for an update. If the developer gets enough requests, it may consider updating the app to 64-bit. Or the developer may suggest a new and improved app in the App Store, or one that will be available soon. You can try to contact the developer through the App Store. Some 32-bit apps are still there. You can find out if you go back to Applications in Settings on your device. Tap on an app in the list to see if it is still in the App Store. A notice will appear if it is not available. But if it is, the App Store will open with the app listing. Tap on the Developer Website section, and you will see the website address for the developer. Look for an email address on the website to contact the developer. Do this soon, because you do not know how long the app will remain in the App Store. You can also search for the Android version of the app in Google Play. If the app is not available in the App Store anymore, search for the app in Google Play, where it may still be available for Android devices. Find the developer's contact information in Google Play to ask for an update to the app. If that does not work, you again can search the developer's website to try to contact them directly. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.